Hello there. Welcome to Book Talk. I'm your host, Anthony Mwerore. At Book Talk, we get to bring people who come to speak about their books. I mean, authors who come and tell us about their books. And today is no exception. We have a guest with us, and I believe you're going to enjoy this show. But before we go into that, I would like to remind you, or rather announce to you, because I've not done this before, that we are available on any platform that you would be interested listening to. Book Talk podcast, that is on Stitcher, Google podcast, we are on, name it, whatever your favorite is, just go and search us there. If we are not there, you tell us to put us you there. And then now here we come to today's show. You're welcome. And remember to share this with your friends, as we are going to have some great time with our guest. And I'm going to introduce the guest. Our guest today is known as Dr. Stephen Piriano. Welcome to the show, Doctor.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
Yes, we appreciate you having coming on to our show. And we believe that you have some great knowledge, some good lessons that we are going to learn in this show. And so feel at home. And before we go on, I would like also the viewer would like to know a bit about you. Who is Dr. Stephen?
Sure. So I'm from New York. I was born in Brooklyn, yeah, and born and raised in Brooklyn and Staten Island, both in New York City, and ended up choosing a career path to be a doctor, and went to medical school at SUNY Downstate, and did my training after that in emergency medicine at Long Island Jewish Medical Center. And then I got married after residency, moved to Mount Vernon with my wife, and now we live in upstate New York. We're about an hour north of Manhattan, and live with my wife, my two teenage boys, and my four dogs.
Four dogs.
Yes.
why so many?
Well, I had three. Yeah. And my wife always wanted a fourth one, and she volunteers at a shelter, so we adopted a rescue recently. Ah, okay. within the last month, actually.
Okay, yeah, that's good. I thought about having a dog right now. When I was young, I had a dog, but now, no, I don't have one. Where I am, I can't imagine keeping one. So having four, that's quite something.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Love dogs.
Okay, and I love cats myself.
Yes, we had a cat too.
Okay, so how? Not many, just one?
Yeah, we had just one that I inherited through marriage, and he lived to be 18 years old, so he was good. We had him for a while.
Okay, beautiful. So in this show, we are going to be covering your book, which is called My Steps Forward, An Inspirational Guide to Living a Better Life.
Yes.
Well, that's the book that you've written. Is it your first book, or do you have some other books with you?
This is actually my third book.
Yeah.
I've written two children's books.
Okay. Ah, beautiful. And how many years have you been in practice? I mean, that you've been a doctor.
I have been an emergency medicine physician since 2002. So I guess I'm going on my 20th year.
Ah, beautiful.
Yeah. Beautiful.
That's quite a career. 20 years is quite a career. And you came up with My Steps Forward. At what point did you come up with it, and why? What inspired you to write My Steps Forward?
Sure. Well, there's actually a lot that went into this book. So the book is part memoir and part inspirational, motivational, and it also has a lot of my thoughts on health and wellness. And I guess to tell the story, I guess it started back in 2007 So back in 2007, I was diagnosed with kidney cancer, and had surgery. I had chemotherapy, and thankfully everything turned out okay. And I'm fortunate and blessed to be alive, so many, like 14 years later. But back then, like shortly after my diagnosis, after I had recovered from my surgery, I had questions. I was thinking, why did I get cancer? I thought I had been living healthy. Was I not living as healthy as I had thought? I wanted to see if there was anything I could do to stop this from happening again. So my wife and I, we went to Barnes & Noble in Manhattan, and I walked in there with the intention of, buying some books that might give me some answers. And I bought a few books on nutrition and wellness. And, these are things I really wasn't interested in nutrition prior to that. And so I started reading, I started off intrigued. And then as I got into the books, I just became fascinated with the things I was reading and learning. And like I said, nutrition, wellness, meditation, I started getting into personal development books as well. And just one book led to another and so on. And I just learned so much. And between what I learned, my own self-education, I was learning that I wasn't living as healthy as I had thought. And then that coupled with my professional experiences in the emergency department, I realized that I was seeing a lot of patients that were coming in with, heart attacks and strokes and high blood pressure and diabetes. And they were coming in with complications of these diseases. And they were younger. I was noticing trends that they were younger and younger. And these were what I had previously thought were kind of old people diseases. And I'm thinking, why are younger people getting these? And over the years, at months and years, I just notice these trends, and I'm thinking, something is wrong. And, putting that together with all I had learned, I realized that, I felt like we could be better. I felt like we're doing things wrong. I felt like that, us as a society, we are kind of not living healthy, most part. I think many people are, obviously, but I think there's still many people that are not living healthy lives, maybe not eating right. Maybe they are not exercising as regularly as they should. And then they are getting sick and they're relying on pills and procedures to kind of control the symptoms of disease. And, don't get me wrong. I modern medicine, it works miracles. I think that everyone who works in the medical field are heroes and we save lives and it's great, but nevertheless, I still think that we've kind of got it backwards. I think that we need to be living healthy on the front end and taking care of this gift that we've been given our bodies. And, rather than getting ourselves ill and then, relying on modern medicine to basically try to control our symptoms. I think it's strange to basically, eat your high fat meal and then take your high cholesterol medication after that. So there's that. And then I also felt like I've learned so much, aside from just health and wellness, just through life, from my life experiences, from, I learned from cancer, I learned from my wife, from my children, from my patients, from just challenges and failures. And I felt like I learned so many lessons. So I felt like I wanted to take all the things I've learned and plus all the things I learned about health and put it into a book and just get the message out. I felt like it might be helpful to people.
Beautiful. I like that. And it's good that we are hearing this coming from a doctor. A doctor usually is there to tell us how to treat whatever has gone bad, how to get better, not how to avoid getting sick. Now, I'm curious to, on this issue, when you discovered that you had kidney cancer. And in looking back, did you identify some habit, some lifestyle that you were living that could have contributed into leading you to this disease?
Yeah, possibly. So my diet wasn't as good as I thought it was. Mm-hmm. I had up to that point been eating a lot of processed foods, mm-hmm. but I bought were okay. I mean, I was eating, you know, granola bars, and I mean, I wasn't eating a lot of cakes and cookies, but I was still eating processed stuff, like a lot of, you know, processed cereals, granola bars, you know, instant meals. I was eating a lot of them, and I wasn't really eating many fruits or vegetables. And it turns out I learned a lot that processed foods really are not very healthy.
Okay.
That was one major thing that I noticed.
Yeah, because many of us could be living through what you are going, you've gone through, and some could avoid whatever you went through. Now, it's good when you've been somewhere to share the lessons that you learned so that others don't come into the same situation. And it's good that you've done this. So we really appreciate you. And I hope that many are going to get the lessons that you are offering us here and put them into their own life and use them and avoid things that they could be tempted to be, I mean, find themselves into in the future. So what are some of the lessons, if we can go a bit deeper into the book, the My Steps Forward, an Inspirational Guide to Living a Better Life? That's the book. So what are some of the lessons?
Sure. So I learned, I tell stories, and then I'll talk about what I learned from, and I have some takeaway points at the end of each chapter. So like, for instance, I learned about selflessness. I mean, I was always a decent person, but mm-hmm. I learned really about really being selfless. And I learned that from my wife, for instance. So when I was hospitalized with after my surgery, so I was in the hospital for about 5 days, and my wife was there with me 24/7. She never left my side. She slept on a recliner beside my bed. She, you know, if I, you know, was in pain, you know, she would call for a nurse. If I was, needed to get up at night to use the bathroom, she would, you know, help me when it was time for me to walk, you know, in the hallway, she would be right there holding my hand. So she never left my side. So I don't know, I guess in my life prior to that, I hadn't really seen such selfless devotion. So I learned that from her. So that's one thing I learned. And I'm very grateful for that lesson. I'm grateful that some of that, you know, rubbed off on me. So that was one thing I learned.
Uh-huh. And that's good. And when I discovered that you've done some children books before, mm-hmm. and was this before the illness? It was after the illness, after the, why did you think to start with the children? I mean, instead of, now you've come to the adult, why did you think to start with the children?
So I wanted to get my message out. And then it turns out that I actually started, I wanted to write. I felt like it was important to get my message out in writing. So I actually started writing columns for a local paper here. And there were columns on health and wellness and personal development. And it turns out that I was getting a lot of positive feedback from the editors at the paper. They said that people really like my articles. So I was, oh, great. And then I guess, you know, I did that for a while. And one day I just got the idea. I says, why don't I write a book? And so I did. And I felt like, I guess I had gotten an idea for a children's book. And so for a story, so I wrote that. But, you know, interwoven in the story is ideas about, you know, keeping healthy and eating well and, you know, exercising regularly. So both children's books, they're adventure stories and they're really great to read, but interwoven in them is the theme of healthy living.
Okay. I kind of saw something in your bio as I'm reading. And you mentioned the fact that some of these diseases, some of these conditions could actually be reversed.
Yes.
How is that? For example, let's talk of cancer or even talk of diabetes, mm-hmm. and several others. How is that possible?
Sure. So I can't speak that much for cancer. I don't know, although I think there are studies, but as far as things like diabetes and high blood pressure, it's definitely been demonstrated. Well, first of all, that they can definitely, in most cases, of course, nothing is 100%, but they can definitely, they are definitely preventable by eating healthy and exercising regularly, you know, reducing stress, you know, sleeping well. You live healthy, these can be prevented. And also, if you have diabetes or high blood pressure, I read lots and have met patients who have basically changed their lifestyles and have either decreased the amount of medications they're taking or gotten off their medications altogether because they changed their life. And the same thing with heart disease. Has actually been some studies that actually show that changing your lifestyle and living a healthier life actually can reverse heart disease. It's actually you know, when a person has an angiogram of the heart, which actually visualizes their arteries, you can actually see there's actually opening up of the arteries with just lifestyle interventions. So it's pretty amazing. And there's actually also something, there's a field of science called epigenetics. So just to digress for a second, so people may feel that, and I used to believe this too, that, oh, if you have a strong family history of heart disease or a strong family history of cancer, that you are doomed to get heart disease or cancer. So apparently that's not entirely true. Apparently there's parts of our genes, of our DNA, that actually work, that actually activate or inactivate certain genes. So for instance, and I'm just going to talk in very general basic terms, but if let's say you have a genetic propensity to develop heart disease, so you likely have those genes. So if you live an unhealthy lifestyle, you know, if you eat, you know, lots of processed and high fat and greasy foods all the time, and if you're sedentary and under a lot of stress, chances are good that those genes will probably be activated and you'll probably develop heart disease. However, if you have those same genes, but you live healthy, you're a very calm person, you know, not under a lot, you deal with stress very well, you eat well, lots of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and you exercise regularly, there's a very good chance that those genes will not be activated and that you will not develop heart disease.
Beautiful to know that. And your book, in how many sections is it divided, or is it chapter by chapter that is incorporating all the lessons and all the stories? I mean, is it divided into sections?
It's chapter by chapter.
Okay.
I'm gonna cheat for a second here.
Yeah.
It is. We have 19 chapters.
19 chapters.
Yeah, and I basically, like I said, I tell, like, one of the chapters dealt with my hospital stay and what I, the stories with my wife that I just told you. I tell other stories about what I learned from my children when they were babies. I tell other stories of facing challenges and failures and, you know, what I learned from them. So there's a lot of stories in this book about my life and what I've learned.
Okay, let's hear some of the chapter titles.
All right.
So we know what we are going to get into the book.
All right. Starts off with standing up to bullies. There's career confusion. Do the thing that makes you happy. There's failure equals opportunity. Expanding the zone. Curveballs. Perspectives. Teachers. A backward society, which is where I talk about health and my views, clear goals, consistent action, like some of the things I've learned, for instance, are, you know, if you want to change your life in anything, you know, it could be that you want to be healthier. It could be that you want to, you know, get a certain job or excel in a certain field or do well in a practice of sport. Basically, it takes commitment, first of all, and that at the beginning, you know, it's always harder at the beginning, but then you have to just commit, have a plan, have goals. And I'll use the example of weight loss. Let's say you want to you want to lose 50 pounds.
Yeah.
So your overall goal may be to lose 50 pounds, but that shouldn't be your immediate goal. You want to break that down. Mm-hmm. You want to break it down into maybe I want to lose, you know, 2 pounds this month, and I'll start with that. Okay. And then basically, so you have a small goal, and then you basically have a plan, and you take consistent action. Okay. You have to be consistent in what you do. You know, mm-hmm. if you're going to, you know, change your eating habits, you have to do it consistently. Mm-hmm. And then also you want to do it slowly. If you are right now a very unhealthy individual, if you try to change overnight, most likely not going to work. It's hard. It's hard to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's totally understandable. So you want to start slow, you know, make small changes, take baby steps, be consistent. And gradually as you keep going, you're going to gain momentum. And then you're going to hit your small goal of losing 2 pounds, which is great. And that's cause you could celebrate that. Mm-hmm. And then make another goal. Okay, I want to lose another 2 pounds or maybe 3 pounds by the end of next month. And you work from there and slowly, you know, the same thing with exercise. If you're a sedentary person, I once start off saying, I'm going to run 5 miles tomorrow because likely not going to work. And you're going to just give up because it's going to be hard to do. So just say two times this week, I'm going to walk around my block. And then maybe next week, I'm going to walk a little bit faster. And then maybe the next week, you're going to walk twice around the block. And then the following week, and get it up to a jog. And then slowly but surely, you just increase the amount of you're doing. It's baby steps, consistency. And as you're going, you'll build momentum. And I really think that if people do that, that they can attain really whatever they set their minds to. And the other important thing to know is that there's probably going to be failures along the way. And mm-hmm. that's okay. You know, everybody fails. And as long as you learn something from your failure and know that you're human, that it's going to happen, that's okay. You just fail. You can, you know, if you reflect on it, but then move forward.
Beautiful. And I'm going to focus on something that people are experiencing now when they come to you talk about yourself and the goals you set, the failures that you overcome, and then you come online or you go to school or you go to work, and then you meet with the people who are against you, who could be bullying you. And you mentioned you started with a chapter on bullying. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe you can give us an insight on how to deal with bullying, whether it's at work, online, at school. We would love to hear that.
Sure. Would you like me to kind of tell you a little bit about the story?
Happened? It's okay. Tell us about a little bit about the story and tell us how you think that we should be dealing with such issues.
Sure. I think, so anyway, for me, it was in junior high school. So I was very skinny and very smart, which sounds great, but for some reason in junior high school, and I was quiet as well. I was very quiet. Mm-hmm. And I ended up being the target of bullying. And basically, it happened pretty much every day after eighth period Italian class. When the bell rang and we would make our way from Italian class to our homeroom before dismissal, there was a group of 4 kids that basically would smack me on the back of the neck the entire way to homeroom class. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was painful. It was hurtful. It was embarrassing because, you know, I knew that other people were looking at this, but I was just too scared to do anything about it. And I always remember too, the girl who sat next to me in Italian class, she said, Steve, you know, you got to stand up for yourself. You have to tell them to stop. And I knew she was right, but I was too scared. I didn't really know what to do. I said, what if I told them? What if they only hit me more? What if they decided to kind of just beat me up right there in the middle of the hallway? I mean, I didn't know how to defend myself. So this went on for a while longer. And then I guess one day I had just had enough. And, you know, so a bell rang, leaving Italian class, and then the slapping starts, and something just overcame me. And I just turned around and I smacked one of my aggressors on the back of his neck. And then after that, I felt really good, but I was really scared too. So I ran to homeroom class. My heart was racing. I was breathing fast, but I felt so good. And then that was it. they never hit me on the back of the neck again. And then, so I guess the lessons I learned from that were a few, I guess. Well, first, I guess if you get to a certain point where you just have had it and you can't deal with it anymore. When you get to the point where you've had it and you can't deal with it anymore, sometimes that enables you to enact a change. So sometimes you really need to just really kind of be so fed up, and that causes you to change. So that's one lesson. And the other lesson, of course, is to stand up to yourself. You know, don't stand up for yourself. You know, don't let yourself be oppressed. You know, I definitely not advocating violence. I would say definitely do not be violent or hit unless it's a truly, you know, self-defense type of situation. I mean, I did hit another kid, but you know, it, you know, did no real harm or anything. But stand up for yourself. So basically, don't let yourself be oppressed. So those are the main lessons I learned from there.
And yours could have been different. I mean, mine could have been different from yours, because in high school, I went almost about the same exact situation that you were, but this one was one guy. He was a skinny guy. Uh-huh. He used to bully me every time when I shaved my head, bald, always hitting me. So one day, I thought I had had enough. That was in form two. So I hit him. And now you can imagine, I was seeing this. I was not a bully. I was quiet also. Uh-huh. But the next few seconds, I find myself hanging on the notice board with one hand like this.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, he did not hit me because he had been the bully. So, but after he brought me down, I decided I'm not going to retaliate on some other people. But anyway, that also solved the case. He never bullied me again. Nice. But it's a tricky situation when you have to stand up for yourself sometimes. But yeah. As you said, we don't advocate for violence, but you shouldn't always keep quiet when things are happening to you. Even though you don't retaliate, you mm-hmm. should speak up.
You should. And you know, another thing I forgot to mention, sometimes it only takes like 5 seconds of courage. Mm-hmm. You know, you just need those initial like few seconds, and then you just do what you have to do and take that first step. And you know, and then you've kind of have kind of solved your problem, you know, or at least are moving in the right direction. So sometimes you just, you know, you don't need like to be courageous for an hour. Sometimes just a few seconds.
Just a few seconds. I get it. Now, I have an issue that I have been observing in now, because we are dealing with a holistic life kind of way. And a subject that I have observed in the recent past, it's sensitive to many people. People are having a challenge on that, many people. And these days is not as it used to be back then. You talk of some 20 years back or something, when you got married. Mm-hmm. Talk about relationships and maybe finding a life partner. How is that? I see it a big issue in many places now.
Uh-huh. Well, I am certainly no relationship expert.
Okay.
But I guess, you know, I got lucky. I found a wonderful woman that I fell in love with. And, you know, thankfully she fell in love with me as well. And, but I guess it's always a compromise. There's always got to be a compromise in relationships. And I think you always have to be open-minded. And, you know, there's times where there's disagreements and and times where I can feel as well, you know, where, you know, I feel that whatever, you know, even if we have the same ultimate goal, you know, maybe I want to do it one way and she feels in another way is better. And even if we have the same ultimate goal, you know, many times I'll feel like, you know, my point of view is being is being threatened is not good. And, you know, I can feel like, you know, that, you know, if I escalate this, it could definitely go into an argument. But I feel that, you know, I try to a lot of times, you know, just let it be there, but then just listen. And I think that's really important, just listening and being, you know, open-minded and seeing what the other person has to say. Because a lot of times I find that, you know, her way is really the better way.
It happens. It happens. And let me ask you, how way back is that? I mean, how long have you been married?
We have, this will be June, it will be 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah, in June, yeah.
That's beautiful. It's beautiful to hear that someone is going into decades in marriage, because it's not easy for many people. And
yeah,
and now you were lucky, but if you wouldn't mind, please tell us how you really met or how you found each other.
Oh, okay, sure. That's actually another interesting story.
If you don't mind.
I don't mind at all.
Yeah.
So I said I did my training in emergency medicine at Long Island Jewish Medical Center. So that was for 3 years. But before that, I actually did, the way the program was set up was I did a year of internal medicine at another hospital, Staten Island University Hospital. So I was an intern or first year resident there. And one day we were paired with third year medical students. And it turns out that I was paired with this young lady. And so that day when we first met, when we were introduced, it was a very busy day. And, you know, I was very focused on work and the things I needed to get done that day. So I kind of just, you know, we were supposed to kind of help our medical students along and teach them and guide them. So, but I was so focused on what I had to do, I think I just shook her hand, said, "Nice to meet you." And then I left. So I later found out that she was not very happy about that. Naturally so. But then, you know, over the next few days, you know, I started behaving as I should have from the start. You know, I paid more attention to her. I taught her things, you know, about, you know, medicine and our patients. You know, we spoke about our patients, you know, we became friendly. And then I started to become, you know, I started to like her, you know, as more than a friend. And I would, you know, really, you know, developing feelings for her. And, you know, we would talk a lot. And during our lunch, we had an hour lecture, lunch and lecture every day. And I remember I'd be sitting down and she'd be sitting with her other medical students' friends. And I'd be staring at her from kind of admiring her from across the room. And then, you know, I was hoping that she had the same feelings that I had. I really had no idea. But then I, you know, I finally worked up enough courage. I said, I'll ask her out on a date. And so I had planned it out. I decided that I would ask her to stay late on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And I would teach her how to start an IV on me. So that was the plan. And then after that, I would see if I can work up the courage to ask her out. So I asked her to stay late, and I had her practice IVs on my sore forearm. And I later found out that she wasn't too happy about being asked to stay late either. And all her other friends left. But so anyway, then that was done. We went back to our call room and there was some small talk, and I finally, you know, worked up the courage to ask her out. And then someone walks into the room and starts talking to us. And then kind of went from here down to there. So then that person finally left, and small talk again between Myra and myself, and finally worked up the courage again. And then someone else walks in and they talk. And this actually happened like 3 or 4 times where we kept getting interrupted. So finally we were alone for a few minutes, and I finally got the question out. I asked her if she would like to, you know, go on a date with me, maybe a movie. And she had said, no, she said she's busy. She has to study. So I was like, okay. So I, you know, kind of mentally picked myself up and I went on to plan B. I gave her my phone number and I said that, you know, if you ever want to take a study break, give me a call. And so a few days later, the phone rang and it was her. And so it was, she said, sure, she wants to take a study break. We went to a dinner and a movie and we had a great time. And then like 2 years later, I proposed to her and she said yes. And the rest is history.
And now I hope that she has many things she's happy about.
yeah, she is.
Because there were many things that she was not happy about before. Now,
yeah, I made mistakes along the way, but hey, I learned from them, you know.
Everyone makes mistakes. Yeah. But the question I have for you at this point is, I mean, we do not have that luck that you had, that you married someone from the same profession that you are. Do you think that is a big contribution of why you've been able to be move along all this way?
No, not necessarily. I mean, it helps because she could, you know, we definitely can understand. And I guess, you know, if we want to talk about work, we can definitely understand each other better. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a plus, that's a bonus. But I don't think if we were in totally different professions, I think that it would have still worked out.
Okay, because it's about the individual, not about what you do. I mean,
yeah. And I think even if you're totally different professions, you could, you know, you're hearing something new and different, you know, from your partner that you don't know, you know, about like maybe their work, what they do. And so you're just being exposed to different things. So you're probably, you know, it's just, it's a learning experience and, you know, just an experience in itself, just to hear stuff, you know, from like a totally different, I guess, point of view.
Mm, okay. Beautiful. So for those of you who are joining us now, or those who get to watch this video after it's over, we are talking to Dr. Steven Piriano, who's authored the book, My Steps Forward, An Inspirational Guide to Living a Better Life. And it covers many areas, from being bullied, from career choices, from the challenges that you face on an everyday basis, how to deal with them. And you'd better go and get it. So where can we get this book if we want a copy?
Sure, you can get it from Amazon. You can get it from barnesandnoble.com. You can also get it from my website. My website is, so it's my name without the N. So it's Steve, S-T-E-V-E, P as in Peter, I-R-I-A, N as in Nancy, O.life. So stevepiriano.life, L-I-F-E.
Wonderful. And I have to also ask this, do you have something like, now we read the book, but maybe workshops you having, some coaching that you may have? Just asking for someone that could be curious.
Sure. No, I don't as of yet, although that's something that I'm definitely interested in getting started.
Mm-hmm. That would be good. So for those of you who would be interested to collaborate or maybe get some coaching from Steve, who's been there and done that, experienced that, overcome, then you can follow Steve at stevepiriano.life.
Yes. And yeah, they're actually on the website, there is a contact form. So you can reach out and contact me through the website as well.
Well, beautiful. Now, it's been quite an honor having you on our show. So we are just about to end it. But before we do, I always ask you as a guest on my show to leave us with some parting shot, something that you'd like us to remember you with.
A parting thought, you said?
Yeah, something, some words, some inspirational, some motivating things, something good that you'd like us to remember you with.
Well, I would just say I would say it's for you to believe, and to anyone listening, to believe in yourselves and, you know, love yourself, love others, and know that if you, you know, want to accomplish something, and if you, it's something worthwhile and you truly believe in it, that, you know that you can do it.
Beautiful. Believe in yourself.
Yes.
Know that you can do it.
Yes.
And go for it.
Yes.
That's good. We really appreciate what you've shared with us here. And we thank you that you chose to write a book. You know, it's one thing to be in something and come out of it. It's another thing to tell us what was there, how we can avoid it, or if we are already there, how we can come out of it. So your book, My Steps Forward, is a good thing that you've given to humanity. And we wish you all success in it. And we wish those who are going to read it a better life ahead.
Yes, yes, I hope so. And Anthony, thank you again. I really do appreciate you having me on your show. Thank you.
You're welcome. We are also honored to have you here. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.